Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. No, this is not a mirage. This is, in fact, the Robin Mob Show, coming to you from Westerville, Ohio, in the Midwest Coast office. I am really Rob Hammer, joined as always on the West Coast by our man in Southern SoCal, Jeremy Litch. Jay, welcome to the You Guys Still Have a Show? Then Where the Hell Have You Been edition of the Robin Mob Show. Still the only show on the World Wide Web making the haters play the back while we stay up front like handicapped parking. Good evening.
Man, I'm going to need that handicapped parking tomorrow, dog. Welcome to the, I don't know, 120-some-odd episode of the Robin Mob Show. I think it's 25 officially. We may have had some lost episodes, but going to Disneyland tomorrow with the official junior EP of the Robin Mob Show. And she's turning 8 on Tuesday, so we are making an expedition to Anaheim, all parts north, and going to the happiest place on earth except for parents' wallets. It should be a good time, and I'm almost as good a time as I'm about to have right now with you for 45 minutes.
You know, we actually had dinner together, Jeremy and the junior EP and his lovely wife, our other EP. They were in town in July, and we had dinner together. It was great. They brought the junior EP with them, and we had a good time at Polaris Grill here, just 5 or 10 minutes north of where I'm pacing right now. But we'll get into that a little later in the show. Don't want to let that cat meow out of the bag.
Yes, but, for those who might not be aware.
Yeah, like that 5 or 10 people, and they've probably been in jail.
That one person who is listening right now.
Right, or hasn't seen us on Facebook, I guess. our buddy Todd Jones, before we get into, we got a rapid fire thing we're going to do with some things that have happened since our last show. Todd Jones actually posted on Facebook, our good buddy Todd Jones, the scribe, that people wrote into the Dispatch, the local paper here, saying that, complaining that Ohio State quarterback T.J. Barrett got arrested and the police had other crimes they could be investigating was the gist of it. But I found that funny, at least the response from most of the locals here in the 1-4, but, you know, it is what it is here, although there's some vitriol directed at both major college football polls and the college football committee from this direction. We'll get into that a little later. The big story all summer, as you know, as you listen to the Rob Mob Show here, Blog Talk Radio, robmob.com, Deflategate. Now, you've heard about it. We're just going to touch on this briefly. Does a franchise like the Patriots, who everybody acknowledges is just professional cheaters, do they really need something to add fuel to their fire? I mean, Brady had to deal with this all summer long. They're 8-0 now. They're rolling up on people. They're just what they're doing offensively is ridiculous. And if you have Patriots on your fantasy team, you don't know what to do every week. So my question to you is, why even bring this? Was just a waste of time, was it not?
Oh, I totally agree. I think what we're seeing right now is Tom Brady chuckling quite loudly right in the face of Roger Goodell and the NFL. I for one, have my, Brady as my quarterback on my one of my fantasy teams, and I chuckle every time I get a start from him. So the fact that they're 8-0 and he's putting up ridiculous numbers, you know, maybe not the yards that Phillip Rivers has, but they're 2-6, so they're out here in the 1-9. So and looking like they're on their way to L.A., but that could be delayed at least a year, depending on what the owners do. But for the Patriots, this is all, you know, that was the NFL trying to get at them because they didn't get them with
Spygate,
yeah, or any of the other attempts that they, you know, locker room tapping or, you know, whatever the Colts have threatened them with before. But it was all for nothing. I mean, it was just another attempt for the NFL to stay in the media cycle in the off.
I got tired of it. I think they renamed SportsCenter Deflategate Center there for a while. It was to the point it was so bad, man, that I wouldn't watch SportsCenter. It's just because it was – every day was, you know, was Brady going to talk? Why did he get rid of his phone? All that stuff. And it bled over into the rest of their programming, PTI, Around the
now,
Horn.
I will say that was kind of interesting. You know, if I had something – if I didn't have anything to hide, I mean, yeah, I might not want to – you know, give up all of the details that are on my phone, but be like, yeah, go ahead. You know, I got nothing. But you destroyed the phone, and then you came out and said, oh, I do this every couple of years, or I do this every couple of months, or whatever. It's like, why? Why are you destroying the phone? I mean, what are you doing on there? Does your beautiful bride know what's going on there? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe there's video. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, hey.
Maybe they're doing stuff that we're not doing. I don't know.
Well, you know, she makes more money than he does. He makes minimum wage comparatively.
He's making slave wages compared
to her. When she's down, when they're down in south, you know, south of the equator, they refer to him as her husband. They don't call him Brady. They don't call him. I mean, he is, you know, not wearing the pants in the family. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know, he's got 4 rings. He's going to Canton. It doesn't matter. I don't know that they're going undefeated because we've seen this movie before. I think, and Teddy Bruschi said it best in 2007. Later in the season, it got the pressure built up. And if you're a regular listener to the Rob Mop Show or you read this on our website when I wrote that tournament piece 1,000 years ago, the longer your win streak is, this was a long time ago. So I call it the late season loss corollary. Like, if they had given up that game, and Bill Simmons even wrote this, if in 2007, if they had lost that game in Baltimore, they came back and won in overtime for that miracle drive with no timeouts where they went like 87 yards in 11 plays. If they lose that game, they'd probably go on and go to, you know, 15-1, win the Super Bowl. But they pulled that out. You know, they stomped through the rest of their schedule. And then David Tyree made the helmet catch. And a guy born on my birthday hit a guy who shot himself in the ass for the game winner in a Super Bowl. So Vegas took a beating. It was awesome. So, but Vegas always wins. Kind of like
always. For example, Northwestern was a 2-point dog. I'm sorry, 2-point favorite against Penn State. Final score, 23-21 Cats. How they get that on the number, I'm not really sure. Well, no, I am sure, but, you know,
he
midway
probably
through.
Say.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, I had a. Went to a conference in Vegas recently and partook in some entertainment value, entertainment purposes only kind of viewing on television. And so I did a little three game parlay on the way out the door. Felt really good about all of them and hit 2 of 3 like always. because parlay actually spelled backwards is donkey. And the last one I lost by half a point. Lost by half a point. So, you know, I made a nice donation to Vegas in October, so that was good.
To the 702 Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, couldn't wait until March. Couldn't, you know, I had to get my mid-year fix.
Can we get that on the website? Can we buy that shirt? Because I would rock a shirt that says parlay spelled backwards as donkey.
Oh, that's coming. That's coming to our website soon.
That was great. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to college football right now. Rob Mob Show, robmob.com. Here on Blog Talk Radio. The big news so far this season has been, at least at the top of the food chain, Ohio State has played two quarterbacks. The one that won him a title in January, who can't move the ball in September, and then when JT gets on the field, they look like the 89 49ers. They cannot be stopped. And now JT, as the entire Western Hemisphere knows, picked up a week ago yesterday in the Wee Smalls for suspicion of operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated and trying to evade the sobriety checkpoint.
Strong.
With Texas
plates, mind you.
Okay, but those of us familiar with that particular section of the Ohio Revised Code will tell you, because he blew, he's underage, he got picked up drunk, and he blew. So that's going to be a minimum $250 fine plus court costs, non-reporting probation, 6 points
now,
on his license, and an automatic 90-day suspension or 180-day suspension of his driving license.
Now, I think what he was charged with is misdemeanor one. I believe the two lawyers on record from the Columbus area said because of his general good behavior and first offense, depending on the judge, obviously, but he may be able to argue down to a misdemeanor four, which would be maybe 3-day drug and alcohol rehab in a hotel, and, you know, some court costs, things like that. But he may not face exactly what you said, being familiar with the revised code.
As
most of us are aware of parts of that code. The thing that I couldn't believe with him was, one, that he didn't take advantage of my former employer posting the location of all DUI checkpoints around the Columbus area on Fridays and Saturdays. If he would have done that, he could have taken a back route, because we all know Columbus has a back route pretty much anywhere you want to go, and this wouldn't have been an issue. But, you know, he is underage, like you said. He did not take advantage of the dispatch services, and he will pay the fine, and you know, I'll be interested to see if he's in Urban Meyer's doghouse. You know, was this a 1 week thing? Did he serve his time? I know Meyer said in the past that once you come back from suspension, there are no additional penalties, and with the lack of performance from the offense against Minnehaha, I feel like the JT saga will continue into next week if they name him the starter.
I don't think he's going to start, but he's going to come in at some point in the first quarter. Otherwise, the newly crowned Midwest Coast EP might kick somebody in the throat, but we'll get to that later.
Love him.
Yeah, we all do.
Welcome to the fam.
Exactly. We'll explain that again. We'll explain that probably in the champagne room. So, college football playoffs, the first rankings released last Tuesday. Clemson number one, LSU number two, Ohio State number three, Alabama number four. But there's been some upheaval. Number two, LSU, got smoked like a turkey bone last night. Also, Michigan State losing on a really sketchy, iffy, I'm going to call it bad call, to the Children of the Corn.
Oh, bad. Horrific.
TCU got beat like the tied down worthless dogs that they are. The 12, as we've told you before, the 12 espantalones, as we all know. It's just terrible. I'm tired of hearing about this. Now, I got to give credit. The Midwest Coast EP came up with this one last week. We were talking about the University of Memphis. They're the Tigers. They used to be Memphis State. And we were like, well, why aren't they the Blue Suedes or the Hound Dogs? And she says they should be the Memphis Kangs. So, for Robin Mob Show purposes, the University of Memphis is now the Kangs. Or, alternately, the FedExes, since FedEx is based out of Memphis. Or the Barbecues. But
glossary.
You know, glossary term. Working on it. So they lost yesterday. So that's what it's done is
they got trucked. They didn't lose. They went TCU and thought they were in Stillwater.
Oh, I'm a man. I'm 45. They laid it down, bro. Every time that score came on,
smashed the Kings. Navy smashed the Kings. But Oklahoma State, I mean, it was like a video game. Like every Big 12 game, I'm sorry, little XII game is. It's like, okay, how quickly can we score? It's like no defense. It's just PlayStation, run the go route, and see who catches it. It's just not even football.
My favorite thing about the 12 was said by Bruce Arians, and he was talking about all these spread and shred offenses. He was like, listen, they hold up a card, and then the quarterback lifts his foot, and then they run a bunch of pass routes. That's not quarterbacking. That's not leadership. That ain't football. So BA got big points for me from that. We'll talk about him in a minute because his quarterback is playing out of his 35-year-old mind.
All right, I got a question for you real quick. You're listening to the Robin Mob Show. I'm Jeremy Lynch. He's Rob Havner. The bi-coastal edition. Midwest coast of the Olentangy. Or
what?
And the big blue out here.
Big blue, baby.
So tell me about Satan and his team's respect or, you know, bounce back ability, whatever it is. How are they four in the first poll? I mean, yeah, they trucked LSU, but, you know, LSU can't pass the ball, you know, in front of the line of scrimmage. I just feel like
only.
You have Bama who comes in at four, even though they lost to an Ole Miss team that gave up 38 or so to Memphis in losing. They also gave up 53 losing to Toledo or Arkansas. And I just don't understand why a one loss team who has a loss to a team that hasn't played very well outside of that game in Tuscaloosa gets that much credit.
Well, I will refer to you to something that you and I have talked about that we hated for a long time. Like, you know how when we were talking on a show that summer, the wife and the daughter were away edition, and you called on the way home from work, and we just met up at the Kang and did a show. And we were talking about the preseason polls and how we really, I mean, we kind of like them in a sense that it gets you thinking about them, but then that's where it starts. You know, you have to, wherever you're stuck, that's where you have to come from. Like the 2002 Buckeyes were preseason, I think, 14 in one poll and 16 in another. And
yes,
you have to fight that bias the whole rest of the season. The thing with Alabama is, I think they were overvalued early based on the fact that he is to football what I think Larry Brown is to basketball. Let me explain what I mean by that. Larry Brown could take five guys that he picked up at a liquor store, in a liquor store parking lot, get them to run a simple offense and play some defense, put him in either conference in the NBA, and he'll have him in the playoffs in 2 years. Saban, you know, they've top 5 or 10 recruiting classes for the better part of his run down there, and he has taken the approach that Woody Hayes used to take, where Coach Hayes will put the best guys on offense. I think Nick puts the best guys on defense, and where he's come up short is at the quarterback position. And if you go back to the Ole Miss game, I think the writers and the coaches gave him a pass, gave him a pass. I've got a dog situation here on the Midwest coast that I'm taking care of. Dog is chewing on something. I had to get it out of his mouth. The little dog's crazy. We'll introduce the dog later. They gave him a pass for that because it was self-inflicted. It was 2 bad interceptions, a bad fumble. The one touchdown bounced off a guy's head, I think. So they didn't fall as far as, let me put it this way, if Ohio State had lost to Maryland. Ohio State lost to Maryland because it's a conference game against a team that's traditionally not that good. He's not in football. Number 3 preseason in basketball behind my Tar Heels, by the way. yeah, you like how I snuck that in? Because it was a league game, they were just like, oh, well, it's the SEC West, and the writers went crazy. But I think that's what it was. It was a bunch of self-inflicted stuff. It wasn't anything that Ole Miss necessarily had done. And if Ole Miss's guy yesterday avoids grabbing the quarterback by the face mask, they're out of there with a win. And Bielema gets to
shut up. And they still control their own destiny in the West.
Right, right.
I totally agree with you that, yes, it was a self-inflicted loss to Ole Miss. But they still lost, and it was Ole Miss. I mean, most losses, if the team gets upset, it was because they played poorly, not because the other team just trucked them. I mean, the TCU game aside, I mean, Oklahoma State played and, you know, Alabama was a better team against LSU, and I don't think that was really an upset. Usually when the better team or what we perceive as the better team doesn't win, yeah, it's always a combination of both things. But just crazy. Let's say Ohio State, preseason unanimous number ones, never happened before. Let's say they would have lost to anybody on their first 9 games. Right, they probably fall to what, 15, maybe, never get back into the top 7 because of that. Bama falls to whatever they fell to inside the top 10, and a couple weeks later they're top 4.
Right back in it, and the EP doesn't like the fact that because ESPN has the broadcast rights. When they're putting scores up now during games, they're not using the coaches' poll rankings. They're using the CFP rankings. So when Ohio State comes up, they come up 3rd and not 1st. And, they're 2nd now. Clemson has leapfrogged to number 1. It's the first time they've been ranked number 1 9 weeks into a season since 1981, their championship season. Down there, they won a title between the Georgias and the Penn States in the early part of the Reagan administration. Yeah, I know that. And my wife just, the EP just gave me a face.
You can say why.
Yeah, okay. The Wi-Fi. So I'm interested to see how this plays out. I don't know if Ohio State was 3 after being undefeated, coming off the performance that they had prior to the bye week. They won by 2 touchdowns, which I don't think covered the number, because I think our friends in Arid Climbs had it at about 17.5, mm-hmm. But I don't know for sure, because I didn't look.
Well, it would have been right on the number if Ohio State's kicker could actually make a field goal.
Well, it would only have been 17. It's 17 in the hook.
Well, yeah, but when they put it on a half so that they don't push and,
Right. Oh, I understand. Hey. Believe me, I understand. You and I understand. We've been on both ends of the hook, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what happens, because I think based on what happened coming in, that they're not going to be in the top four this week. Some jackass on this committee is going to leapfrog Notre Dame over them, and Alabama's going to move up. I anticipate it being like this, and I'm going to do this somewhere safe so I don't have to get the death stare. Clemson will stay one. Alabama will move up to two. I'm thinking Oklahoma State's going to make a big move because they made a big move in the polls. LSU got exposed, so they're gonna drop like a stone. One of the Big 12 undefeated is probably Baylor moves up, and Notre Dame. So Clemson, Alabama, Baylor, Notre Dame is like how I think it's going to happen. And then Ohio State will be five.
Wow, I heard that from the background.
I'll let
you guys get to that conversation after the show.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Well,
I think the
committee gave Notre Dame so much credit for losing a two-point game where they missed a two-point conversion in the rain at Clemson. Obviously, they came in at one-loss number five in the first poll. Clemson goes on and, you know, narrowly escapes the Florida State game where they didn't play very well. Florida State, you know, they played okay. Not sure about the quarterback decision, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. About they're 6-1/2 together. I think you might be right. I would be stunned, though, to see the committee, because of what they did with Florida State last year. Florida State continued to win close games, sketchy games, stayed in the top four. They were defending national champs. They were undefeated, and they stayed there. They got into the playoff and then proceeded to get trucked by an Oregon team that wasn't very good. But if Ohio State were to win, be at three, win against Minnesota, who was decent, you know, they took TCU to, you know, the wire and should have beaten TSUN. I would be stunned if they dropped him out of the top four. Now, we've seen crazier things, and, you know, based on body of work, some other teams are trying to play some good teams. And, you know, obviously Ohio State still has Sparty and TSUN left, and we knew everything was backloaded on their schedule anyway.
Well, and here's the thing. I mean, I think that's not how it's going to happen. If they stay in the top four, I'm not going to be surprised. But if they end up at five, I'm not going to be surprised either. So either way, they're going down at least one spot, either four or five. I have that feeling. But the Florida State thing, though, I sat with the EP, with the Midwest Coast EP, all season last year. And Clemson had a chance to get them last year when Crab Legs sat out, and they didn't do it. And then they were behind early against NC State and came out of it. This Ohio State team is different. When they have 16 taken snaps, they're the best team in the Western Hemisphere. When he's on the field, this team is better than they were last year at the end of the season with Cardale. This team with JT Barrett, the team that Urban Meyer has, would have beaten the 2002 team by three touchdowns because they couldn't score with this team. They're faster than the 2002s. But we'll see what happens Tuesday, 7 p.m. on the mothership. We'll figure all that out. Now, as we go to the champagne room, as we're running short on minutes, and you've got the time in front of you because I don't have that component.
About 30 seconds.
In the champagne room, we'll go to the Dubs. We'll talk the Royals. We'll make some introductions. And I have a Jordan Spieth-related question for you that I gave the wife, and the wife went, woo, like Homer J. Simpson.
Strong. He's Rob Havner. I'm Jeremy Lynch. Stick of the day. Going to the champagne room. Yeah. Up with my girl last night, so I went to the club. Welcome inside the champagne room. He's Rob Habner. I'm Jeremy Lynch. The mysterious extra 15 minutes. It's been a while since we've been able to do this. As many of you longtime listeners have come to know and love, the D Block, the famous D Block, where we used to go deadspin and get a little crazy on it.
Deadspin has been in the news all day, but it's all been bad because it's Greg Hardy related, and we're not going to rehash that. Let's quickly move through this. As Golden State opens the defense of their title, I watched them get their rings. It was really, really cool. The thing about the Dubs is I remember something that was said about the Showtime Lakers that I think really applies to these guys and not so much the Bulls dynasty. In the sense that, remember when we were growing up and when the Lakers had it rolling in 85 and 87 and 88, and it was just a different game than everybody else was playing. Like, they were playing, those guys in the Celtics were playing chess, and the rest of the NBA was playing Uno.
Yeah.
And it was described as the way basketball we played in the 21st century. This is what it all led to. The 7 seconds or less, if you blended the 7 seconds or less era with D'Antoni plus the Showtime Lakers, the baby that it gave you is the Dubs. They led the league in offensive and defensive efficiency last year. They're already doing that. They beat Memphis by 50. And the only guy to score more points than Steph in his first four games as a defending champion and reigning MVP was Mike in 91-92, during what I think is the best season they had during their front-end three-peat, which leads me to a bitchy point about them. ESPN.com is apparently this season, every day, is celebrating the 20th anniversary of the 72-10. Like, they would have had their season opener that year, like, last Thursday, and it was like Pippen got 26, and it was on the front page on ESPN.com, and I was just like, really? We're going to have to do this 82 freaking night? All right, they won, but I'm going to say this one last time. If you had them, that 72-10 squad, if you could go back in time, load them up in a trailer attached to Doc Brown's DeLorean, and then on the way stop and get the 86 Celtics and the 87
Lakers. Love the Back to the Future reference right now.
There you go. They would not have beaten either one of those teams. The advantage that those Bulls had was length and athleticism to defend the wings with the three guys that they had in Pippen, Jordan, and Rodman. But like I keep telling people when this comes up at the barbershop, and it still does, who is stopping Kareem? Kareem would get 40 a night on the 96 Bulls. And then, of course, the C's. Larry wouldn't have been able to get anything off the bounce, but they had nothing for Kevin McHale. And then you bring in Bill Walton, who can run your offense through the high post, and just Danny Ainge and DJ with free eats from 17 to 22 feet. There's no way. I'm done. We're moving on. Last week, the Kansas City Royals won their first title in 30 years. They actually clinched their World Series 1 year to the day before the 86 Mets clinched their World Series, and they won their next World Series by beating, wait for it, the New York Mets. It's a victory for small market teams, as you pointed out. But my question to you now becomes, as those guys mature, how many of those guys are going to stay in Kansas City?
Well, that's the, $200 million question.
Not really doing any work in the Bronx.
No, it's not. And that's the thing. You're going to have a team rise up every once in a while when it's put together well, and you get a bunch of young guys that are relatively young, don't have the experience or the numbers to argue for more money yet. Basically are grateful to be in the league and playing every day. And then, you know, you get a little taste, you go to the series and you lose. Then the next year you go back and you win. Then all of a sudden you've got some cred. And, you know, once the agents get involved, it becomes this, you know, a lot of the guys, like if you got the Royals in a room and basically said, now that you have a ring and you went through this with these guys, do you want to continue doing that and give yourself a chance to be a dynasty, or do you want to try to go make some money?
Do you want to get paid?
It'd be interesting.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be interesting to see what they say.
Well, in the last 30 years, only two teams or two franchises have managed to come, well, three if you count the 91 Twins, and I guess you would kind of have to, because those guys all came up together and were together in 87 and won that title. So I guess mainly the 87 Twins, the 91 Twins, the 95 Braves, and the Yankees of 96, 8, 9, and 2000, where those guys, the majority of those teams had come up together through the minor league system and stayed together. Dave Justice tells that great story that when he came up in the spring of 1990, when he finally got called up, when you pulled into the players' lot at old Fulton County Stadium, everybody was driving Toyota Tercels and Nissan Maximas. And when they won their World Series, everybody was driving the Benz. Their payroll when they went to the 91 World Series was $16.5 million, which is $13.2 million less than A-Rod made last season. So think about that for a minute. Their entire roster, they won the World Series with that low payroll. So, but it's good for the Royals, and it's a great baseball city. And Mike Greenberg said this on their show early last week, that it seemed like every year in the 70s, it was the Royals and the Yankees in the ALCS. Back then, George Brett and all those guys, George Brett, Amos Otis, UL Washington. Yeah, I took it there, people, because I'm old.
UL,
remember their names.
UL. You just went UL on it so that you could, you know, talk some smack at the barbershop.
Well, no, and, you know, Frank White at second. You know, I'm just throwing it out there because I can.
Yeah.
And finally, here's the question I have for you. This is one of those shows where it hasn't been like our traditional, our old school format. But this is going to go, if you're a longtime listener and supporter of our brand, you'll love this. I saw that Jordan Spieth commercial with the AT&T commercial with the golf balls in the shape of his face. My question to you.
Okay.
Here's my question to you. Would you rather have Jordan Spieth's 2015 season, or whose season was better? Jordan Spieth's 2015 season, that's back-to-back majors, the near miss for the British Open playoff, and the Tour Championship, or the infamous summer of Tiger, year 2000, the floor is yours.
I think I go Eldrick. The Tour Championship, you know, FedEx Cup, I mean, nobody's going to talk about those things down the road. That was a made for television, made for revenue kind of thing that they came up with to keep people engaged when, you know, they got wraparound seasons and stuff like that. I mean, everybody talks about majors. I mean, at least golfers do. They want to win majors. And now, don't get me wrong. When you go win, one shot out of a playoff, two alone, it's pretty dang good. But, you know, that summer and then wrapping around to the next season when
the Tiger Slam.
He had all of the trophies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anybody else? No? Just me? Okay. Now, Spieth is very young. I think he's got his act together. He uses the word we a lot, not I. He appreciates what his team does for him, not just his caddy, but everybody around him. He's got his head on straight. Do I think he could probably – I don't know. I mean, if he stays away from injury, he may have another magical season like that, but push comes to shove, I take Eldrick's 3 out of 4 in 1 year and then winning the next year.
So that's 1-1, second alone, and T5 at the British. Is that what that ended up being? 1-1,
something
T5.
Like, yeah, because there were three in the playoff. Is that right?
I think so. 1-1, yeah. 2-5 in the majors.
Yeah. I mean, stupid. And the way he handled it, I mean, it was almost like there was no pressure. It's like, who is this guy, dude? This is just, you know, the junior EP. It's so funny. She used to always ask, "Is Tiger playing?" when I was watching golf, and when I'd tell her no, her next question was always, "Well, is Jordan Spieth playing?" So, you know, I created a little bit of a monster there.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that game is in good hands as Tiger and Man Boobs and those guys transition into their 40s. Because Tiger will be 40 in 7 weeks. So
December, yeah. He's joining the club. And
really,
with back-to-back procedures, that, you know, on his back, I wonder, you know.
He might be very careful.
You know, we've always had that conversation about will he win another major, and will that'll continue now and forever until he either wins one or retires. But hey, I want to give you enough time to do some introductions. So, get out.
All right. This summer has been great. I got to see my dear friend Jeremy Lynch and his lovely family when they were here in the 1-4, but it was great for another reason. The weekend after the 4th of July, I came to a conclusion, and I asked a woman to marry me, and she said yes. And then on August 7th, I married the love of my life, the Midwest Coast EP, my new wife of 3 months as of yesterday. Tammy joins the team as the Midwest EP, and she brings to the table our two dogs, little Joey and Annie, our lab. My stepson, her son, Matt, whose official Robin Mob show name is the official stinky teenage boy of the Robin Mob show. unless he gets on a Taco Bell, and we'll just call him Taco. But it's great. It's funny because we were in the seventh grade together when the Royals won that World Series, and I married a girl that I kissed for the very first time 30 years ago. And we had dinner with you right after we got engaged. And I don't even think we had the ring yet. So
we were very, very, very stoked to be the timing where we got to have dinner and find out pretty quickly thereafter.
Yeah, and then, of course, it was embargoed until she got the ring, so. Because we hadn't picked it up. We bought it, but we hadn't had it sized yet. But, yeah, so we have a new member to the management team, so.
T-Hav!
Yeah, boy, T-Hav in the house! So, that will wrap up. I believe we're up to 126-27. Some NBA final score total edition of the Robin.
Yes, exactly. So hopefully it won't be as long between shows, and if we can start doing these regularly on Sunday nights, we'll make it happen. He's Rob.
Well, like
Hatner.
I said before, he's Jeremy Lynch. I will call you on the other side, man.
Be good.
You do. Have fun at Disney.
Talk to and show me some love. If you know what I mean.